And the ladies are standing by. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, you know, Lou.
Good morning. And then where do you haul the rusty asbestos-laden old thing?
Well, this is a problem.
It's illegal, isn't it?
Right. You have to dispose of it properly.
You have to have a licensed.
You do. And the thing is, if they can get it out the door, then you can at least get it on the back of a truck and find the place that will take it.
You'll be driving around alone.
No. I mean, you got to set right. You don't want to just back up and say, "Oh, look at this empty field," you know. But there are landfills that will take it, but you have to set that up in advance. And then, as opposed to having an asbestos abatement person, you still have to pay extra to get rid of it.
It's crazy. It's crazy expensive.
It's, you know what, Kath, it's not as expensive as you think. It's more than just dumping something, but it's not like thousands.
Like $100?
Wait a minute. When I was president of the board at Melrose Garden, and Veronica, thank you. We know we're late.
That's all right.
But whatever. we had to put in a new boiler. The original boiler was 100 years old or something. I think it cost us between $12,000 and $15,000. For asbestos removal.
Right, to do all the abatement from inside there. Yeah, that's very expensive, correct. But what I'm talking about is if he can take it out in one piece, it's going to be a few hundred dollars to dump the thing, no question.
Right.
But it's nasty stuff. There's nothing good about asbestos.
Yep, exactly. No. All right, well, have a good one, Lou.
You too, ladies.
We're
have
an
a good
asbestos-free show.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. Good morning.
Good morning.
Kathy and Judy here. Judy,
I wanted to tell you, I'm puzzling over the kissing your horse and giving him herpes.
I'm sorry.
I was listening to the news.
Yes.
And there's horse herpes now.
Yes.
And it's transferred by humans.
How?
Kissing your horse, I bet.
Well, perhaps one of our horse-loving girlfriends will know a little bit more details.
I know. I just feel bad. I kiss my dog all the time.
Hopefully it's acceptable for radio. Anyway.
Oh, you bad.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. I'm sorry I interrupted, of course.
I have a question. I spend way too much time on Facebook. But one of the things that I'm fascinated by on Facebook are videos taken from dashboard cameras. Now, apparently dashboard cameras are much more common in other countries because if a meteorite hits the ground in Russia, it seems like there's 2,200 dash cam videos of that happening. But there are also videos of trucks barreling over the center line or things falling off trucks. Who has dashboard cameras? Because I think I want one. I don't know what the technology is. I imagine they plug into your lighter thing, or what they call the power outlet now. But how long does it keep the video on there? 312-981-7200.
I'm sure you have to download it.
Call
to
us
your
or text us.
Computer.
Yeah, maybe it keeps half an hour of it. I don't know. But if you're on the road and all of a sudden you see a meteor hit the semi in front of you, or you see a load fall off a semi or something like that, that would be a cool video to have.
Okay, wait. Would that be just because you want to post? You want new things to post? I mean, why do you want a camera?
Well, you know me and photographs.
Yeah.
I mean, I have thousands of photographs on my Picasa program, and they're all very well organized and everything. I just think if having something documented on video may change the way you perceive it. You may say, oh my gosh, this log fell off a truck and it nearly hit me in the head, when it turns out it was over and it knocked off your passenger side mirror or something like that. I don't know who has them.
I was just thinking, how many years have you been driving without a log coming rolling down in front of you?
About, I would say 62 or 64, something like that.
Just in case, you'll have something your like dashboard that. Camera.
All right, this is Dennis. Hey, Dennis, what do you know about dash cam videos?
You can put an SD card in it. You can put any size from 2 gigs to 64.
Wow.
2 to 64 bytes. And it's a continuous loop. They only go on when you're moving.
Okay. And how long? Oh, well, I guess it just depends on how much you... Once you fill up the card, then it starts over.
Yeah. So it just continuously loops. You can find them on eBay. I bought some for as cheap as $5.
Some?
And they go up. Yeah, I mean, eBay is like, you know, you bid for stuff. But they're real easy. You just stick them on your dash, I mean, your windshield, plug it into your cigarette lighter. Boom, you're gone.
Did you ever?
How many dashboard cameras? You said some dashboard cameras. Do you have a lot of cars or?
Yeah, I've got a few that I'm responsible for.
For a fleet or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or something.
Okay. Are you a drug dealer?
No, I'm an insurance broker.
Okay, so they go in the cars of your...
So it goes right by your rearview mirror. There's a little suction cup thing. You just stick it up there.
Right.
It hangs there and it looks forward. They're real popular in Europe. I don't know why more.
I know. I know. So, yeah. So I'm just thinking might be something fun to have. That's all.
What are you going to do with the queen who waves? Queen
Dennis,
Elizabeth,
thanks for the
call.
The queen's on the dashboard. The queen, it's not the queen anymore. It's the Pope waving on my dashboard. But all right. Well, thank you, Dennis. 312-981-7200. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Kathy Hill and Judy. How are you today?
Hey.
Good. What's your relationship with dashboard cameras?
Yeah, I put them in for various insurance agencies like the Last Gentleman does. But if you buy them on eBay, you're not getting what is called wide dynamic range cameras.
What does that mean?
And those are light compensated. That means if you're looking into the sun, the camera will compensate for the bright light that you're looking into the sun and will give you an overall better picture.
Okay, and that's you pay more for that, I would guess.
Yes, absolutely. And I have done them to where we get a full 360 degree view. And what those four cameras do, they go into a recorder into the trunk of the car or into the rear passenger area, and we can get up to 21 to 30 days on a couple of terabyte hard drives.
Is this because some people are bad drivers?
Yeah, because you're the second caller, and you both mentioned insurance.
Yeah. I mean, people today that we used to rely upon the Progressive, you know, the one that plugs into your onboard computer jack.
Right, and tells them if you go above the speed limit so they can raise your rates.
But who are these for? Are these for people who get in accidents and are always, you know, having their rates raised and like that? Like me.
Yeah, because we are basically maintaining good driving records to keep the insurance low for the good drivers. And then when we pick up on one that is the bad drivers or the drivers who are aggressive, we work with them to change their way of driving.
Okay,
if
Jim,
that doesn't help. Go ahead.
Are those videos admissible in court?
There is a thing called a watermark that it is if you transfer video from the machine onto a flash drive, that is not court admissible because it can be changed. If you bring in a CD and the CD has been fixed, is what it's called in the industry, or it's been watermarked, you cannot change the images on that CD. And if you do, all the images will disappear.
Okay. So when you put a dashboard or suction cup camera in the cars of people who maybe have troubled driving histories, is that a you do this or you don't get insurance deal?
No. These are for the questionable people who have had driving under the influence, a lot of rear-end accidents, a lot of side swipes, and, you know, people who are being very aggressive out there. So we watch their speeding tickets. It's a situation that is not of the normal population.
Okay.
Is what we watch. Yes.
Okay. But is it an either or? Do this or you don't get insurance?
Well, no, we're not that critical. We go down and we give them a chance or two.
Uh-huh.
And then if it's determined that their driving record or their driving style has not been modified, then we ask them, then we do not insure that.
Okay.
But
all right.
I would literally just say, no, I'm sorry, you don't, because there's too many lawsuits that would be pending if we just did that.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Jim.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Have a good day, girls.
Thanks a lot. I was just curious. I don't know that we'll do any more calls on this, but I was just curious, and I'll keep you posted on whether or not I get myself one of these things. Kathy and Judy back. I have a question. I need 5 callers. I don't care where you live or nobody's getting a prize. I just wonder if anybody can figure out the answer to this question. And Judy, if you have figured it out, don't say it, okay?
I probably won't.
Okay. So this week, and 312-981-7200 is our number. I just need 5 callers, 3 callers, whatever, on the line to see if anybody can guess the answer to this question. This week, I had a very difficult time finding something, and I finally found it, and I went to the store and I bought it, but it's an item that I have not bought, I would guess, in 50 years, and it's not a girdle. So it wasn't a girdle. So 312-981-7200. Do you have any sense of what I might have bought this week that was considerably more expensive than it was when I bought my last one 50 years ago? I remember we had a conversation once with a bunch of our girlfriends about this particular item. And Kristen, you don't have a clue. Well, you weren't even born.
And you told me.
I think I do. I think it's a slip.
You're correct, but you just did what I told Judy not to do.
And oh, sorry.
That's all right. We've got our yes. I'm finding myself wearing a lot of tunics because you don't have to suck your stomach in, and in the wintertime you can wear them with tights so your varicose veins don't show. But in the wintertime, it's everything sticks. You know, you get a lot of static cling. Even with Static Guard, and they don't even have slips at places like Von Maur or Nordstrom. You have to go to...
Do you go to Victoria's Secret?
Yeah. You have to go to Victoria's Secret, and they have a lot of them that are just like French-made lingerie slips, but they do have pretty little slips.
Now, did you get a taffeta one? Because I remember that that's supposed to be the best at non-clingy.
I'm not sure that it was taffeta. It was black, and it had some pretty lace on it, and that's what they had.
Why do you wear a slip in the winter?
Because it keeps your tunics from clinging to your clinging to the lines of your body.
Which you are trying to hide.
Yes, you are. What are you wearing a tunic for anyway?
Because I remember only wearing a slip, well, when I was a little girl.
Right.
And
for...
it was underneath a dress if the dress was a little too thin.
Oh, so people wouldn't see through it.
Yes.
Oh,
and
no.
My grandma was the one that was always like, it would look better if you had a slip on.
Right. Well, I just thought it was interesting that it was so difficult to find a slip. So anyway.
So do you like it?
Well, yeah. It does what I wanted it to do.
I mean, does it feel like a queer extra label, or does...
No, it's not. It's not cling. It doesn't cling to your body.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of larger than your body.
Do you have it on today?
No, because I'm wearing pants. That would look
silly.
I think
long tank tops that cover your butt are the new slip.
No, but that's the problem, is that... They cling to you. You're trying to hide your upper belly or your butt, and they cling to it because of they're not made out of cotton.
Tank top underneath like a tunic.
Okay, but if the tank top isn't a slippery material,
oh,
it's the tunic's going to...
Yeah, you're right. I don't know anybody that wears
a slip.
They wear like long tank top in spank form, but...
I remember a conversation once with a girlfriend, and I can't even remember how it came up, but she was talking about slips. This was maybe 10 years ago. And we said, why do you wear a slip? And she said, because my mother told me to. And I said,
she was how old?
27? How old are you? I think she was 62 or something like that. We said, is there anything else your mother told you to do that you continue to do just because she said? I can't remember what it was. But one of our girlfriends on the text line says Walmart and Kohl's still carry Vanity Fair slips, full and half. Half slips are too long for a tunic because tunics generally come to 10 inches above your knees or something like that.
You know, the problem with tunics, at least the ones I have bought, and I don't have too many, is I think they make my butt look bigger.
Tunics?
I don't have a big butt.
No, you don't have a butt.
I do too.
Not much. Okay.
But I think that they make it broader.
That would be difficult with me. So anyway, two of the possible answers on the text line were condoms and a vibrator, bitch.
You know, when we come back,
yes,
I want to talk about the justifiable or maybe not so justifiable lie.
Okay. To your kids?
Don't you want to talk to me about it and our girlfriends?
I would be delighted to.
Oh,
so
you sounded kind of like...
No.
You can go talk about it.
No. I'll be very engaged.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That'd be good. Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies. Yeah.
There you go.
Good one to pull.
Attaboy.
We're going to talk about...
Who's that, Bob or Kristen? Bob did that. Kristen did that. There you go. Lies.
There's a lot of musical knowledge in that room. There was a story that I read that talked about whether or not lies are justifiable, and they gave this test to a bunch of people, and there was one lie that caught my eye in particular, and as a hypothetical, I thought it'd be interesting to talk about, and the lie is basically that a man died in his car drowning. And it was clear from the marks on his body and whatever happened to the car that he had suffered a rather dreadful death. And when he was pulled up and the wife was at the hospital and everything, the doctor said he died peacefully. He died right away when the car hit the water. And 50% of the people thought this lie was justified. And I wondered how you felt. I think the lie is justified. To what end does telling somebody that their spouse or their best friend or their child was struggling? And I just wondered what our girlfriends, who would call at 312-591-7200.
981-7200.
That one.
Right.
feel about that. What do you feel?
Well, I guess you've got to gauge the person that you're telling it to.
Who would be a person that would handle, you know, struggle?
Me. All you have to do is go online and find out. Yeah, and find out what happens when somebody drowns being submerged in a car. You know, and some people don't want to know that. So I guess a doctor would kind of have to. I mean, if a doctor were to tell me that, I guess I would say, oh, all right, well, thank you for letting me know. And then I would find out later that probably was not the case. I don't know. 312-981-7200.
I mean, it seems to me that all that would happen, were it to be me, God forbid, would be that I would think, oh, my God, I would dream about that every night, those last few moments.
Well, here's Karen. Karen, where are you on this?
I'm kind of always with you when it comes to things like this. Like, I don't believe people pass. I think they die.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I probably think both you and I would also do what, you know, what would be the point of telling Judy something graphic? Do you know?
Right.
I mean, I don't think I would bend myself out of shape to mislead her. But then again, I don't think I'd go out of my way to inform her of all the glory
of how horrible
either.
It might have been. Right.
But yeah. I mean,
right.
Don't you have to be moral is not only just to be honest, but I think to be good and kind, you know? So
good
consequently
point.
that ameliorates the dishonesty. So be it.
Yeah. Yeah. Karen, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Goodbye.
Goodbye. 312-981-7200 is our number. The justifiable lie in this case, more than half the people surveyed thought that it was okay to tell a surviving spouse that the spouse
51%.
Who had 51%. Okay.
Okay.
That the person who died, it was a peaceful death. Really, they'd use the term peaceful?
Well, if you got killed by a concussion, that, what is that? That's instant. So it's not with any suffering.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it didn't happen.
Right. So they're saying that he was killed instantly when his car hit the water or something
exactly.
like that. Right. Exactly. This is John. Hey, John.
Well, it kind of touched on what I was going to say, but it's basically, if you hit the water, you were knocked unconscious and you drowned, you probably didn't suffer much as far as you weren't aware you were drowning, you were in dreamland or whatever. And then, you know, that's a plausible issue. Now, if you were totally awake and you were drowning, yeah, you'd be doing a lot of struggling. And I think at the funeral home, someone would say, why are their nails ripped off and why is this and why is that? There would be a lot of questions. Then you might become aggravated at somebody saying, oh, they died peacefully, when the evidence shows that that wasn't the case.
Right.
Now, John, I don't know much about funeral homes.
Well, I would want to know. And I watched both of my younger brothers die. I went to the hospital. I saw both of my younger brothers dead. I'm 55. And they were much younger than me. And I saw at different times they died. And I wanted to know what happened, because there were things.
Well, did they die violently?
One did, one did not. But one was cut open from his sternum to his belly button, and he had a chest, a rib cage spreader in his chest still, and he had the tube down his throat when I got to the hospital, and he was 32 years old.
But that was during an operation.
No, that was them trying to resuscitate him when they found him. He was strangled by his girlfriend's friend.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gosh.
So, anyway,
yeah.
Well, I wanted to know what happened. I knew that it was bad. They told me that maybe I didn't want to go see him. They just wanted me to identify him from a picture. And they said, well, it's kind of gory. And I said, I want to see him. I went in and looked. And I needed to know that. And it did.
Were you haunted by you?
I think about it a lot. I think about it a lot, but it helped in the retribution down the line.
John, you probably are not in a position to answer this question, but why wouldn't they have covered his body and just let you identify him with his face?
Well, they had the tube that they put in there. They said they couldn't pull it out. It was stuck. And it's this big, one was black, one was clear.
Okay, but with the chest spreader, why would you need to see his chest opened up with a chest spreader?
They didn't have a sheet over my eyes.
Okay.
When I got there, they called me at work and said, I got a call, and they said, you got to get to the hospital, state cap or something. You know, you got to get there right away. It's a matter of life and death. I didn't know what was going on.
Okay. Oh, we're sorry about that.
That was it. But anyway, so... I think it's good to know the truth.
Yeah.
Really do.
Okay. Thank you, John.
And I'm not a funeral home director, but I'd just like to say that I think were it to have been scratching and trying to get out and nails ripped off, I think the mortician probably puts that out of sight for people who are coming for visitation. Wouldn't have like a big bloodied thing. Aren't you under? Can't you be under that? What?
Well, you should. people do get cleaned up for viewing.
No.
You know, they don't.
So you wouldn't see
that.
Right. That was one of John's examples. That
okay.
Everybody would know.
Right.
That's right.
Well, 312-981-7200 is our number. Remember when I told you when I almost drowned on the river rafting thing, when the raft I was in capsized and two of us wound up under the raft in the rapids?
And you were going to die.
I think I was very close because I couldn't get up to the top because the boat was on top of us. And I remember thinking, and obviously this is all in slow motion, well, shoot, I'm going to drown. And it was calm. It was not, well, shoot, I'm going to drown. Oh, my God, oh, my God. It was like, I just remember it as not being terrifying.
But you're unusual.
Maybe.
You're unusual and
in so perverse. Many ways. In so very many ways. I'm asking you, sugar, would I lie? Would I lie to you? We're talking about a survey. Judy, you want to reference the survey?
Yeah, the survey that was done, and I read an article about it in the paper that proposed hypotheticals on lies that were told and whether or not they were justified. The people were asked whether or not they were justified, and I was referring, do you think it's justifiable to tell a surviving spouse that her spouse, when his car went into the water, that he died peacefully when in fact he really struggled and had a terrible death? That's what I'm saying.
And 51% of the people said that that's a justifiable lie.
And I'm one of them.
Right. Okay.
And you're not.
Okay. And several texts. One says there's a one weird angle which involves insurance. If a person's being sued about the way their victim dies, if it has, it does have a bearing on the amount of money awarded in the settlement.
How they died?
There was a fascinating story on the value of life on This American Life that discussed this. The family of a person burned alive in an accident receives more of a settlement than a quicker, more peaceful way. Gross mathematics, but important for the family left behind. Another text from 779 says, this is extreme, but I have the autopsy photos and police report from my husband's death. He was struck by a car. I was told he didn't see it coming. Police report says otherwise. Didn't appreciate the lie. So another one says the death certificate would have to show cause and contributing factors. We were led, this is about the Challenger space shuttle, of course, which we all heard about this week on the 30th anniversary. We were led to believe that the astronauts died instantly. Not true. They probably lived a few minutes as they plunged into the water. And it was felt the public could not handle that. So these, our number is 312-981-7200. This is Elaine. Hi, Elaine. Elaine?
Yo, Elaine.
I don't know what happened to Elaine. This is Steve. Hey, Steve, what do you know about this?
Good morning.
Morning.
Girlfriends. I was a rescue diver in the northern suburbs of Chicago, and there's a couple of different ways of telling if somebody had a, what you would quote a peaceful death, depending on what's in their lungs. The doctor can tell if you're alive, if you're going to suck in water. Mm-hmm. If you're not, you're not going to suck in water. I have taken a couple of classes on investigation from a gentleman who was a Royal Canadian Mounted Policeman, and he had a foreword. He wrote a book, and if you read his foreword, it almost feels like you are drowning.
What do you mean in his description of it?
In his description of it.
Right.
Okay, but what about the morality of this? I mean, these are the technicalities, and it's nice to know, but where do you stand as having been a former diver? I mean, where do you stand on this particular lie? Is it justifiable to lie, or is it better to go with the kinds of things you must have seen?
Well, it depends on the situation, of course. Like I said, if you're conscious and cautious and you will breathe in water, and the doctors do know this.
Okay,
that's not answering the morality question. That's what we're most interested in, your take on that.
What's your take? Should you tell the survivor it was peaceful, or he was knocked unconscious when the car hit the water, or do you say, no, it appears that he drowned?
Well, we all want to know the truth. And depending on the situation, I think it's up to the doctor who or the doctor who does it. If he wants to live with that, that's he has to bear that burden. I think the truth is the best.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
so you're not
you.
You're not voting in the that's a justifiable lie category.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
You bet.
This is Scott. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning. I think another justifiable lie that often been told is a big misconception. A good friend of mine is a police officer in the suburbs, and that's when people tragically want to end their life and they sit in the garage and put the door down and leave a car running. Everybody's typically told that they typically just go to sleep and pass out and it's a peaceful death. And from what I understand, what he said, it's absolutely not the case. In fact, there's 99.9% of a chance that there are horrific hallucinations. And he notices people trying to claw and try to break their way out of a car, even when the car door is left open.
Okay, where do you stand on the lie?
Well, again, I think it's if it's going, I think it has to be determined by the individual you're talking to. If it's someone who you mm-hmm. don't think could handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
By our favorite right. Scientologist.
Right.
You know, I mean, don't you think that you have to adapt that logic based on who you're talking to? If it's somebody that maybe is a stronger emotionally willed person, maybe it's best to tell them the truth. But if
yeah, it's kind of, yeah, it's a difficult assessment to make when you don't really know the person. When it's just a person standing in front of you, you're the doctor or you're the police officer. It's a tough call to make.
I think you err on the side of kindness.
Okay.
Yeah, it comes back to you can't handle the truth. If somebody can handle it, then I think that that's the direction you need to go.
Right.
But a doctor's not going to know.
Right. In the moment when this horrible thing has happened, this unforeseen tragedy has happened, that lie, it is a gentle way to ease somebody into that reality. And if they go on the internet later and find out you were lying, fine.
Yeah, well, can I ask you this? What do you think the benefit is of telling somebody the bare truth versus trying to pacify? I mean, what's the benefit in the end?
That's what I'm saying.
That's a good question. Very fair question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fair question.
I think it's, you know, seeding the ground for, like, a lot of nightmares and a lot of falling apartness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Scott, thank you for the call. We're glad you were listening.
Thank you.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is our number. As you can hear, we follow our text lines and try to get in as many calls as we can.
On Sunday, May 29th, Lakeshore Drive is all yours. No cars, just one great ride right down the drive. It only happens once a year. The return of MB Bike the Drive, Sunday, May 29th. Register today and save $10. Visit mbfinancial.com/bike. That's mbfinancial.com/bike.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Hochschild, and it's safe to say I'm married to American Weathermakers.
Or at least you're married to me, Dick Hochschild, the owner.
I'm also married to the whole idea of American Weathermakers, the 60 Minute Men.
If your furnace breaks down, day or night, we'll be there in 60 minutes, or you get a free $60 gift card for repairs. And we never charge for travel or overtime.
Incredible service. That's how I met you, Dick. My furnace broke down, and you came to my rescue.
True. And right now, due to a mild winter, we've got too many furnaces in stock. So we're offering huge discounts.
And you'll get a free Wi-Fi thermostat. You can monitor your home from anywhere on your smartphone.
Plus, we offer zero down, 12-month, interest-free financing. Just call for details.
You'll fall in love with American Weathermakers, too.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
Call toll-free.
855-955.
Or visit AmericanWeatherMakers.com.
Gentlemen, Harry's.com is the best way to get a quality shave at a low price. And Harry's ships right to your door. Get $5 off your first order with the promo code ROE at checkout. That's ROE. Stop overpaying for razors. Try Harry's.com today.
You can make a fun experience out of shopping for furniture when you head out to Goods Furniture in Kewaunee, Illinois. They've got 12 historic multi-level buildings filled with the good, better, best furniture you'll find anywhere. 12 buildings of furniture. Goods is brimming with idea-packed room settings and selection. You're rarely going to have to flip through catalogs and find what you're looking for. You don't even have to go outside in the cold. They have glass elevators and skywalks connecting the whole campus. They have great lunches in the wine cellar restaurant. You can browse the shops. They've got Market Square there with shops. And relax. Goods has a friendly staff. Nobody's arm wrestling you over the prices. You don't have to navigate through stoplights and traffic when you travel to Goods. It's just a real easy drive out west on I-80. Make the trip to Goods and add quality furniture to your home. Goods Furniture is open every day 9 to 6. No hype, just honest-to-goodness value day in and day out at Goods Furniture.
When we come back after the news with Susan Berkus, I would like to talk to some of you who have a thing about a particular performer, movie, theatrical piece that has allowed you to see it multiple times. After the promo ran, I got a text from Nick this morning, from Nick DiGilio, our 2 to 5 guy. And Nick apparently has seen Mad Max, the movie this year. He has seen Mad Max, I think he said 26 times.
It's Charlize.
14 of them in the theater. And, of course, we all know that Jim Toronto, Elton Jim, has seen Elton John just under 200 times. I want to say it's in the 160s. So if you are one of those people, if you have seen something over and over and over again, would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. I'm getting chills all over again. That's from Les Miserables, and that's a production that I have seen probably 9 or 10 times. I had seen it once or twice here and went to Paris, and it was playing in Paris, and I saw it in French. But, of course, I knew what they were saying because I'd seen it so long, so many times. And
that must have been a really cool experience.
It was. It was, except for when the usher yelled at me for not giving her a tip. I didn't know that in theater in France you're supposed to tip the ushers. And she led me to our seats, and I went in, and then she stood there and yelled at me in French. And somebody said, you're supposed to give her a tip. So that was weird. Anyway, 312-981-7200, a lot of texts coming in, a lot of phone calls. Those of us who have children will remember when our kids were little, maybe from 18 months to about 4, they could hear, they could have you read the same book to them 100 times, and they still wanted to hear it again. And this is sort of the adult equivalent of that. Nick DiGilio, this year, crazy about Mad Max, has seen it 20-plus times. He just watches it over and over again. I have seen Les Mis. Judy said you will always watch Summer Place.
If I saw Summer Place, if given on, I wouldn't go seek it out.
Right, exactly.
But, and, you know, do you remember the Jane Austen? There's like a Jane Austen club, and every year they read Sense and Sensibility again.
Oh, no. Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Once
well,
a year. And
I was reminded of this because there was a story a week or two ago about a thing called Broadway Con, which is like Comic-Con, and people who love Broadway shows come to New York to be with like-minded people, people who have seen Wicked 22 times or any other thing on Broadway. And so give us a call, 312-981-7200. This is Dave. What's your poison, Dave?
Oh, probably, well, space movies in general, but Armageddon was one I saw theatrically 11 times, and well, I basically stopped counting after 30 times seeing it, including once or twice actually watching the commentary soundtrack.
Okay, and if it were on TV tonight, you would watch it again?
That's affirmative.
Armageddon. Is that the one with Will Smith?
No, Bruce what? Willis.
Oh, with Billy Bruce Bob Willis. That's right. Okay, great.
That
that's
a... your pre- But like I say, that one is the one with the where there were two asteroid movies or
right.
You know, Earth disaster. One was actually an asteroid, Armageddon. The comet was Deep Impact.
Okay,
but that like I say, and like
what's your favorite line from that movie, Dave?
I told you, touch nothing, but you're nothing but bunch of cowboys. The character Lev M. drove.
Nicely
there
done.
We go. Thanks, Dave. This is Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how are you doing this
Good.
Morning?
What would you watch over or have you watched over and over again?
Well, three movies, but the main one is Summertime in Venice. I've gone to Venice about over 30 times, and right before I go, I watched the movie with Katherine Hepburn and Rosanna Bratz.
Oh, my gosh.
Many times I followed where they went, and I almost fell into the river.
Okay.
That would be
a canal.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Okay, yes. Summertime.
I'm sorry.
The other one
is Woman in Gold that I've watched 10 times.
That's a recent one.
That's real recent.
Right.
Right.
And I think I may be related to the block, so that's why I watch it.
Okay. You want to cash in?
Oh, you're damn right I do.
Okay. All right, Jerry, thanks.
Thanks.
From our text line, Huey Lewis and the News 79 times, Chuck from Naperville. I can watch Back to the Future trilogy over and over. That's Bill. I own movies Salmon Fishing in the Yemen and Murphy's Romance. Watched each of them dozens of times. This is just fascinating what you're seeing over and over again. And Allison, seeing your call reminded me. Hey, Allison.
Yeah.
Who have you seen a lot of times?
I've seen Barry Manilow. I stopped counting at 50.
Oh, my. Well, I'm not. I was maybe 9 or 10, and it was about show number 4 when I realized all of the ad-libs were the same in every show.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But we don't care because you never know what's going to happen.
Okay.
You know, they call us fanalos.
Right. So,
do you go to Las Vegas to see him or wherever he is?
I have. Mm-hmm. Far west is Las Vegas. Far north is, I think, Madison, Wisconsin. Far east is Washington, D.C.
When's he coming here next?
I don't know. He's still touring.
How do you like his new face?
Well, we always loved him the way he was, you know.
Right.
And I also love Mary Poppins, the musical. I've seen it 8 times, and I'm in a production now that's going to be in Woodstock. I'm not in the production. I'm going to be backstage, but it's going to be in Woodstock in the whole month of March.
Sweet.
At the Opera House.
All right. Sweet. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, Allison. 312-981-7200. 773 says Barry Manilow hundreds of times. That may be a little bit of hyperbole.
That's who's filling, the palace for him, the auditorium. I think it's almost all repeats. I don't think that people who are going into a Barry Manilow concert haven't been to
others.
Bazillions.
Exactly. Driving Miss Daisy from 847, more times than my husband cares to count. Give us a call or a text, 312-981-7200. What have you seen dozens of times?
TikTok, WGN-TV News reports live from the Iowa caucus. Watch for special coverage and analysis all day Monday on WGN-TV. Do they do it all day?
What?
Do they caucus during the day or caucus during
the evening?
Night?
They caucus in the evening. We'll talk a little bit more about caucuses a little bit later. Just a little question that I had. And Andrea Darlis, who's doing the Caucus Raucous feature on Cochrane in the Morning, was able to get an answer for us. And also, we mentioned before that Elton Jim obviously is the king of multiple visions or views of a certain performer, in his case, Elton John. And I think he's at 165 or something like that. But apparently he's not alone, because according to our calls and our text line, a lot of you have seen a lot of things a lot of times. This is Chip. Hey, Chip.
Hi. Yes, mine is Bruce Springsteen.
How many times?
61. I am from the Jersey Shore, but a transplant after the Midwest. But like your Les Mis, his shows bring out emotion. You smile from ear to ear, and tears come roaring down when you listen to Should I Fall Behind or Empty Sky.
Is that your favorite song? What's your favorite Springsteen song?
Well, they vary from year to year.
Okay, this year, this moment.
This moment, I would say The Rising.
Okay, and when you,
I love that song.
When you've seen a show 61 times, two questions. Number one, at what point did you start counting? Was it at 4 or 6 or 12?
I used to write down his set list, which is now you can get really easy on the internet okay. every time. And if you look at the set list in Chicago, it was one of the best ever.
And that's the second question. Does it pretty much vary from concert to concert? Or when you hear a song, you know, I know what's coming next.
With this show, because it's the River Show, he does have 15 that he will do, but then all the rest are different. He does 33 songs, three-and-a-half-hour shows.
Right.
Wow.
And Ro Khan, who went for the first time, said, what have I been doing all my life missing Springsteen shows?
Yeah.
They are their religious experience.
Heard him say that, right.
And they're just, you know, I've seen them some every time show I go to.
How much show do you think you've spent on Springsteen tickets, Chip? Or don't you want to think about it?
How much money he's been?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thousands, obviously.
You know, whatever I can afford. I mean, and I have so many funny stories about scalping, too. Because,
well, what's
I mean,
the most you've ever spent?
The most I've ever spent is $100.
Oh. Piece of cake. That's nothing.
Reasonable.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, we got a bunch of other calls, but thanks for yours, Chip.
Thank you.
Okay. 312-981-7200. What show? What movie?
When he said he loved us.
Oh, did I cut him off? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry.
Couldn't you use that at like 11:20 in the morning?
Yes, I could. This is Mary. Mary, what's your wicked pleasure?
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction, and how many times would you guess?
25 is conservative.
Favorite scene?
Probably when Uma Thurman gets the adrenaline shot.
Ah, right, straight into her heart. That's a good one.
Right.
Okay.
Right. There's no sex in it at all, and all the violence is implied, and the language is pretty bad, but for the most part, other than the N-word, the word they use the most is Jenny Lawson's favorite compound word, the MS. And it's
I don't know that word.
MF? Did you say MF?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right.
As
in Mother Francis.
Right.
Okay. All right. So for you, it's Pulp Fiction.
And I don't like any other Quentin Tarantino movies. Just that one.
Okay. 312-981-7200. I have no idea the total number of times since the early 80s, but I've seen Joan Jett and the Blackhearts 8 times in the last 2 years. Another text, 815, Breaking Bad, 6 times and counting, no show ever better. 708, Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat, about 10 times.
Weren't you big on that, Kathy?
I've maybe seen it 5 or 6 times. It's the music is just charming, just charming. Let's see what else. I saw the movie Amadeus over 20 times. And finally, just went to Europe to see the historic sites from his life and the locations in the film. French Connection movie, 20 times. The Italian Job, 20 times. There's a couple in here that some people, like here, 815. I'm guessing this is a porn movie. Naughty Girls of Nebraska.
Could be anything else.
100 times. Don, you got to get out more. 312-981-7200. Some of these I haven't ever heard of.
I can't understand in the hundreds of times for a movie. You know, I can see a live performance because that's going to alter. There's going to be different timing, even if they use the same ad libs.
Right.
Because, I mean... But a movie that's static.
Well, here's Mike. Mike, what's the movie and how many times?
It's Bridesmaids. I've seen it 12 times. And after a while, I bought one of those counter devices. And I click it every time the audience would go a new laugh.
Uh-huh.
At the movie. And I counted 276 separate laughs that the audience had. And I realized that the best way to see comedies is with a packed house.
When other people are laughing, it's sort of contagious.
Yeah.
Right.
Favorite scene?
And,
I have a favorite scene.
Well, everybody, yeah. What's your favorite scene?
Probably.
Favorite scene was when she's spent the night with John Hamm, and she's trying to get out of the gated compound that he's in.
Oh, that's one at the beginning, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
That's at the very beginning.
Yeah, she's straddling that 8 foot tall or whatever.
Oh, post Mexican lunch.
This is my bridesmaid story, and I think I've shared this. When I took Sarah on her eighth grade trip a couple years ago. And we had our last night in the airport, and we were going out early in the morning. And I said, well, let's just watch a movie. And we looked. I said, Bridesmaids. Let's watch Bridesmaids. It's funny. I forgot about the first scene in Bridesmaids. And it came up, and I just said, oh, Sarah. Sarah, honey, I'm sorry.
Sarah, honey, don't tell your parents.
Right, yeah, don't. Yeah. So anyway, all right, thank you, Mike. Hey, Mike, what's your favorite line from the movie?
There's a lot of them. I liked one line where the owner of the jewelry store, he's telling Kristen Wiig how to do something, and he brings one of the other women there that works there, and then he puts his index finger on the other woman's shoulder, and then he says, please don't sue me because I touched you. But there's a lot of other lines too. There's also the line I like too when she's in the convenience store. She sees that state patrol officer that's pulled him over. He's got a bag of carrots, and he asks her if she wants a carrot, and just the way she says, "Yeah, I'll have a carrot." You know, I don't do it like the inception that she does.
I know those quirky little things. Mike, thanks for the call.
I love when she's in the airplane and she's like, "Who's ready to party?"
All right. She's going up to the first class section. 312-981-7200 from 773 Gino Vannelli. He doesn't have concerts every year, but when he does, I'm there.
Who is he?
Gino Vannelli must be a singer if he has concerts.
But is he an opera guy, do you think? Or like a singer from the 60s?
I'm guessing 60s.
From Philadelphia.
Or New Jersey. Hey, Marie.
Yes.
What's yours?
Jesus Christ Superstar. I've seen it only about a dozen times, but always loved it with Carl Anderson as Judas. He's unfortunately passed away.
Okay.
But ironically, I was in Italy last week, and it was being
is that ironic?
Shown,
okay.
Well, it was being shown there.
Did you go see it?
No, we didn't. But with 74-year-old Ted Neely playing Jesus.
I know. I remember when I saw it a couple years ago, and it sounded like he was passing a kidney stone.
Well, my daughter's friend saw it and said he was magnificent. So,
maybe interesting. Interesting.
So,
all right. Well, thanks for the call.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. This is Pat. Hi, Pat.
Oh, hi, girl. How
hi.
You doing?
Hi.
My favorite movie in the world, and in my 67 years, I've probably seen it dozens and dozens of times. But it's always on around the holidays. An Affair to Remember with Cary Grant and Deborah Kerr.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just like in the Meg Ryan movie, Sleepless in Seattle.
Right. Are you surprised when you see she's in a wheelchair? Oh, spoiler alert.
Oh, at the end of the movie?
Do you act surprised every time?
So many times I'm not surprised. But and my favorite line from it is, "It's not your fault, darling. I was looking up." Because she was looking up at the
Empire State Building. Exactly.
You know what?
What?
I've been doing one this week. I have probably seen the video of Uptown Funk with all the movie stars tap dancing.
Oh, right. Isn't that beautiful?
Maybe 35, 40 times this week. And I'm gonna go to my dance class on Monday, and she's worked out a routine for us.
Oh, be sure and get video, Jude.
Yes, I will, and I'll have a cute costume.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I'll see you, ladies.
Okay,
so
thanks.
So much. Have a good one.
Thank you. 312. What? Uptown Funk. Going to give it to you. 312-981-7200. One of our listeners wants to know if the guy who has watched The Naughty Girls of Nebraska can tell him how it ends. Judy, this is the answer to your question.
What's my question?
Who is Gino Vannelli? This is Gino Vannelli.
Oh, the Philadelphia singer then.
I don't know if he's from, is he from Philadelphia?
No, but I mean, it sounds sort of vintage 63.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say this. Since we came back over 2 years ago, we have never had a topic that has had this kind of response. On the phone lines, on the text lines, literally dozens of texts about things that people have loved and seen over and over and over again. Thank you to all of you who...
But no repeats, Kath. Or have there been repeats?
Oh, sure. On the text line, yeah, there have been some repeats.
Barry Manilow in the lead?
No. It's a really interesting...
kind of eclectic?
Yeah, exactly. So thanks to all of you who participated in that. And you know the number for other topics, 312-981-7200.
It's the Iowa caucus ruckus.
We got a hold of Andrea Daha-Harless this morning because I had a question about the caucus, and that was, do you have to be a registered voter to participate in a caucus? Because if you don't, then it could really skew the results. Yes, you have to be a registered voter, and you have to be a registered something.
To your party.
Right, Republican or Democrat. And my question, and you could go into a caucus and say, I'm a registered Democrat, but I would like to change to Republican tonight. So if you wanted to, if there was some concerted effort, it would have to be on a large scale. A bunch of Republicans could go into a Democratic caucus, or a bunch of Democrats could go into a Republican caucus and affect the outcome.
Move things up.
Right. But I'm thinking that the intensity of somebody who participates in a caucus, because everybody can, but not everybody does, that they wouldn't want to throw away their vote.
I wonder if we have in our listening audience any former caucusers who moved here from Iowa, or I don't even know, do we get all the way to Iowa in the daytime?
Oh, sure.
Do we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
So if you're from Iowa and have been fortunate enough to be a caucuser.
I think anybody can be.
No. What do you mean?
Can't anybody attend a caucus?
I would seriously doubt that, Kathy.
It's like voting in a primary.
I don't think so. I think you're selected like as a delegate, like as a caucuser. But another thing we don't know.
Maybe we'll have to get a hold of Andre again. Andre's doing television. She's a woman of many talents. But my impression was that if you want to go caucus, you can go caucus.
How could that be? There's only one place. It could be jammed.
Well, or it could not be jammed. No, it's not just one place. It's all over the state.
What?
If you live up in northwest Iowa, you don't have to drive all the way down to Des Moines to caucus. Okay, we have many questions.
Okay, we do. We need Paul Green or somebody.
Right, or Rick Pearson or Andrea Darless or somebody that knows about this. I think it's like voting, Judy. You have your voting place. And I think in Iowa you have your caucusing place. There's not just everybody doesn't go to the same.
Teacher could call us. I mean, I don't know one, but I bet there's a political science teacher.
Well, I bet there's people that know more than we do.
Well, not
which is
hard.
Easy. Right. Exactly. 312-981-7200. So number one, do you have to be selected to participate in the caucuses?
Places?
Right. And are there many, many places by county or by voting district or whatever, just as
why wouldn't everyone want a caucus? Why wouldn't it get
Judy, do you look at voting percentages? Do you look at the percentage of people who vote in any election? It's horrible.
I know, but even so.
Okay, wait a minute. We've got somebody who knows stuff. His name is Paul Green. Hey, Paul.
Paul, hi. Help us.
Hi.
We're glad you were listening. Can you help us with our questions? Number one, do you have to be chosen to participate in a caucus?
No.
Okay. Anybody who's interested in the election, in politics, can go to their area, right?
Precinct.
So it's like voting. It's just, it's at the high school. Right. If it's at, say, it's go to the high school if you want to participate in the caucus.
Each precinct has a room. Many of them meet in high schools. When I was for the station in 96, I was in beautiful Dubuque in a high school, and all the precincts met in separate classrooms. It wasn't a very hotly contested caucus, so there was room. But, yes, every precinct meets. I think there's 1,681 precincts in Iowa. I'm guessing around that.
Okay.
And how does it work? I thought people go to different corners or something.
That's for, the Republicans have a very civilized way. You go in there and you have a secret ballot.
Okay.
But before that, there are the speeches, you know, the usual stuff.
The Democrats, on the other hand,
are, let's, I think the best word would be chaos.
Cool. Are there boxing gloves involved?
There may be this time. By the way, if you saw The Good Wife 2 weeks ago, they captured it. But you go into a room, your precinct, and all the people for one candidate go into a corner, and they congregate. Another, you know, you go to your respective corner, so there's three candidates. Then comes the exciting time. You need 15% of the caucus in that precinct.
Of the total.
In that precinct to be validated.
Okay.
It's a different word. But if you're in the group that doesn't have 15%, then it's like a high school dance. The two that are validated go and try and smooth talk the other group to come and join them. So it's 30 minutes of wooing and whatever.
Okay.
And, but even then, the Democrats, it never comes easy. You don't really count the votes. It's the percentage of delegates that your county has been allotted. So you may not get the total vote for the Democrats, though I think they will because the people want to hear it. But the bottom line is this is the first step in a three-step way to get delegates. There's a county convention after this. Then there's a district convention.
And does the county convention have to honor the results of the caucus?
Yes. Well, they vote. They come from all over the state. So you're not guaranteed any delegates until you get to the district convention. And that what that means is that the percentage of the people, for Clinton or for Sanders, that's the percentage that represents that area. And so you vote your candidate. But when all is said and done, ladies, the Iowa vote, as far as delegates are concerned, much to do about nothing. Because it's not a great total. It's the perception, and with
it's
television,
perception, yes.
It's the video and the talk and momentum and all the others, and money, of course.
Sure.
But it's going to be a very confusing night.
How about the deal where you could walk into the Republican room and say, I'm registered as a Democrat, but I wish to switch tonight?
All you have to be is a registered voter.
Everything I read said you have to be a registered Democrat or a registered Republican.
You have me on that. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I was there, no one said, there was no one checking at the, I walked right in.
So nobody said, are you registered as a Republican or a Democrat?
Right. Or they check it.
But if they listen to WGN, they would know.
Well, you girls are obviously on top of it as always. You know, it's pretty edge.
All right, one of our girlfriends in 773 says, while you're at it, please ask why it is they caucus in Iowa and not in Illinois. Just as an example, why some states and not others?
Only one state, right?
Yeah, well, there are other caucus states, but Iowa's first.
Okay.
Two quick answers. Answer one, because the Iowa people wanted. For them, it's called quadrennial economic development.
And they don't get out much anyway, so.
Well, you know, when your number one tourist attraction is the largest truck stop in the country.
To all our girlfriends in Iowa.
Hey, I'm going to stick up for the Iowans.
Yeah.
You know, Des Moines is the new Portland.
Oh, is
supposedly.
It? Oh, okay. Okay.
And number two, and the best one, if they tried this in Illinois, we would have to call out immediately the National Guard.
I'm sure.
10,
right.
10,000 now- precincts, and it would be rough and tumble, so no. For Iowa and to a lesser degree the primary in New Hampshire, these folks will not let anybody beat them. Any state that tries to go ahead of them, they'll just go ahead of them again. They may hold the 2020 caucus a day after
next month.
Paul,
right.
Have you ever been inside a caucus room, or are you not allowed?
No, he just said he walked right in.
Well, I walked right in. I mean, but
it
was Dole versus Buchanan. Yeah.
That must have been a party.
High. Let me leave it at that. Yeah.
You must have been happy to be there. Yeah, I'm sure.
And are you going this weekend, Paul?
No. One time caucus is enough for me. However, I must add, in defense of the caucus, these people there are wonderful. They were so polite and great homemade cookies. I mean, it was very
excellent.
Nice.
Excellent. Well, Paul, thank you very much for the help, because obviously we don't know much stuff. And
totally ignorant.
You
I was
do.
Most ignorant.
Absolutely. Thank
I
you.
There was one room and right, 92 guys. People.
All right, Paul, take care.
Talk to you.
All right, this is one
it's
of our Iowa girlfriends. His name is Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hello there, girlfriend.
You're in Iowa.
I sure am. I'm in a little town, Trier, Iowa, about 1,700 people.
Okay.
Everyone in town who's going to vote that night.
is going to meet at the high school.
Okay, so you've got big plans for Monday night.
Oh, you betcha. My wife's making cookies.
Okay.
And we're good.
Are you and Mrs. Scott in the same place? Do you both support the same candidate?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And are you willing to tell us who that is?
We're going to vote for Hillary.
Okay. Do you feel like you are, that many of your neighbors are going to be in your corner?
You know, it's about 50-50, it seems like. The youngsters love Bernie.
Right.
People with heads on their shoulders love Clinton. And I don't know of a single soul supporting O'Malley.
The New York Times just about 20 minutes ago, or at least it came up on the screen, endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Big surprise. That's not a huge surprise,
it's
right?
It's not a huge surprise, but nonetheless, it, you never know how it's going to go. I guess the people there are old like us.
Now, Scott, what are you doing? Because there's a lot of scraping and squeaking going on.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm delivering the mail.
Ah, bless your heart. Well, we're glad you can multitask.
Wait, what kind of cookies is your wife making? Oatmeal raisins.
Well, you know, snickerdoodles are popular, and chocolate chips are the standby.
Ah.
Okay. Well, have a good time.
You know, Judy, if I could just mention the reason why I was first in the nation for caucusing.
Yes.
In the 60s. Back in the 60s, they wanted to have the people, you know, gather together and kind of have more direct involvement in electing president. So the Democratic Party in Iowa said, well, we'll vote electors at the city level, Traer, and then they'll go to county, and then they'll go to district, and then they'll go to state. And, of course, the state electors go to the national convention. All they did was count back from the national convention and gave a certain amount of weeks to where they had to start the caucus. And so since they go city, county, district, state, it became a long and drawn out process. And that's why I was first, is because they take such a long time to choose the people to go to the national convention.
Ah, okay. And Paul alluded to that after this, there's another organizational meeting, and then following that, there's yet another.
And, right. And what time does it start?
Pardon me?
What time does it start?
7 o'clock. You have to be in the building by 7. You have to be in line by 7.
And when do you have to be done?
There is no time limit for being done.
Oh, what's the latest you've ever been stuck at a caucus?
You know, they're really, the smaller, the easier. I mean, probably there'll be 250 people at the high school. We'll mm-hmm. probably have it all hashed out within an hour.
Tell us how you spell the name of your town, Traer.
It's T-R-E-A-R.
Okay. All right, we'll be watching for the test for the caucus results, and we'll know the two of them are from
Went
Scott and Mrs. Scott.
Right.
That's right.
Thanks for checking
You're
in.
You're famous, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Caucus music.
University of Iowa music. We're just talking about caucusing, and we were lucky enough to talk to Paul Green, who actually knew stuff, which we don't. This is Brenda. You know stuff too, right, Brenda?
I hope so. Obviously, he knew quite a lot, and I will just ditto most everything he said.
You're an Iowan.
I have been Iowan for 30 years. We moved over across the Mississippi River. I now live in Illinois City, Illinois, about 50 people.
Oh, for heaven's sake. So you're still getting all the ads.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I remember when I lived in Princeton, which was, 50 miles from the Quad Cities, we were getting all the ads.
Sure, absolutely. And if I may say, I was the chairman of the Republicans, as was my husband, for several years. And we also caucus at the high school and different precincts. Ultimately, we'll take different rooms, but the Republicans will be in the cafeteria and the Democrats in the auditorium, or vice versa for Muscatine, Iowa.
Okay.
Tomorrow night.
Do you miss it? Yeah. Do you miss it?
I do very much. And
especially this time.
Oh, absolutely. And yes, by the end of the evening, many, many people will have committed to either a candidate or to a yard sign or a this or a that. And it's fun to be in on what would be the beginning of the what some people feel like is a long campaign season, but at least we get to be first.
Do you still stay in touch with your friends in Iowa?
Oh, absolutely.
Are any of them Democrats?
Isn't that funny?
Probably.
but we just don't talk politics.
What's your sense then? What's your sense then of the people that you still stay in touch with in Iowa? Who's going to wrap up the Republican vote?
I think Jeb Bush might get some attention. I think Ted Cruz will get some attention, and it's going to be fun. I wait up on the caucus night just like I would on an election night to see what everybody else thinks.
Now, you should be a politician, Brenda, because you answered that question without answering it.
I see. Okay,
getting some attention when it comes to Jeb Bush, does that mean that he will do better than most people expect him to?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And who do you expect will get the most Republican caucus votes?
Gosh. I don't know. I've been to meetings with Governor Christie. I've just been to several really good meetings lately.
You've been pretending you're still living in Iowa.
Yes, but that's the whole thing. Everybody's welcome at that level, and you get to hear what they have to say in person. And to me, that is important because I want to hear what they have to say.
Who were you impressed by?
Well,
I was impressed
by Governor Christie and Carly
Fiorina. Uh-huh.
Yes, she speaks well as also.
Interesting. Well, we're glad you called. Thank you, Brenda.
Thanks for listening to us.
Yeah.
I'm a girlfriend from a long time, and I'm so glad that I can still get WGN radio, even if it's in Iowa.
Well, bless your heart. And now if anybody asks you if you have any Democratic girlfriends, you say, I know of two.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
You two really represent Democrats well.
Well, thank you, Brenda. That's very kind to say. All right. And this is Judy. She's been waiting for a while. Hey, Judy.
Hi. Yes, you do represent the Democrats very well. I'm proud of you for that.
Are you an thank you. Are you an Iowan?
And I'm calling from Dubuque, and Dubuque is the Democratic stronghold of the whole state.
Okay. So who do you expect?
We had, I expect here it's going to be neck and neck. I'm caucusing for Hillary, and there's a lot of people caucusing for Bernie. So I think it's going to be close. But we only have 7 delegates that we have to elect, so I think it might be like 4 for Bernie and 3 for Hillary out of our precinct.
Have you ever been to a...
I just wanted to add that most of the attendees are very knowledgeable on the issues and the candidates, and so you get a lot of back and forth.
Do you see a lot of young people coming?
In our precinct, not so much, but we have 3 major colleges, and so, yes, I think there'll be a lot of young people.
Hey, will you check in with us next week? I mean, maybe we can talk to some of our girlfriends that were involved. Are there ever fights?
Oh, no.
It's all very civil.
Kathy's hoping for the worst,
this
secretly.
This year it'll be so ordinary, but 8 years ago, it was so exciting.
Well, we're glad you're listening, and we're glad you called.
Always.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Are you baking cookies? Wait, are you baking cookies?
No, our site will not allow food, so we don't have
to. Oh, boo. No cookies in Dubuque. All right, thanks for the call.
Right.
Well, we're glad you called. Thank you, Brenda.
Thanks for listening to us.
Yeah.
I'm a girlfriend from a long time, and I'm so glad that I can still get WGN radio, even if it's in Iowa.
Well, bless your heart. And now if anybody asks you if you have any Democratic girlfriends, you say, I know of 2.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
You two really represent Democrats well.
Well, thank you, Brenda. That's very kind to say. All right. And this is Judy. She's been waiting for a while. Hey, Judy.
Hi. Yes, you do represent the Democrats very well. I'm proud of you for that.
All right. Well, have a good one, Lou.
You too, ladies.
We're
on the
bestest free show.
This is Chicago's very own.